Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Apple in China by Patrick McGee examines how a California technology icon became deeply entwined with the modern Chinese manufacturing state. Rather than treating supply chains as background logistics, the book brings them to the foreground, showing how decisions about factories, partners, labor, tooling, and compliance can shape corporate strategy and even geopolitics. McGee follows the arc from Apple's early outsourcing moves to the sophisticated production system that enabled iPhone scale and quality, while also exploring the risks that came with that dependency. The narrative connects boardroom priorities, operational excellence, and the realities of industrial policy in China. It also frames Apple's China relationship as a case study in how globalization can create both extraordinary value and hard-to-reverse constraints. The result is a business and political story about power, leverage, and the hidden infrastructure behind consumer technology. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Apple's supply chain became its core competitive advantage. A central theme is that Apple's dominance was not only a product of design and marketing, but of operational execution at massive scale. The book highlights how Apple's approach to manufacturing emphasized precision, yield improvement, rapid iteration, and tight integration between engineering and production. In practice, this meant selecting partners capable of meeting demanding tolerances, funding tooling and process upgrades, and pushing for continuous improvements that competitors struggled to match. China offered a unique combination of supplier density, flexible labor, and fast industrial ramp-up, enabling Apple to launch complex products in huge volumes on compressed timelines. Over time, Apple's operational playbook became a system: component sourcing, assembly coordination, logistics orchestration, and quality control working as one. This topic also underscores the strategic trade-off behind that system. When advantage comes from a highly concentrated manufacturing base, the same focus that delivers efficiency can also increase fragility, exposure to disruptions, and dependence on the policies of the host country. Secondly, the rise of China as an industrial partner and strategic counterparty, the book places Apple's story within China's broader economic transformation, where manufacturing capability grew alongside state capacity and policy ambition. Apple did not merely find factories, it entered an ecosystem shaped by industrial policy, local government incentives, and a national focus on upgrading technology and skills. As Apple's production footprint expanded, the relationship evolved from transactional outsourcing to a complex interdependence involving workforce training, supplier development, and large capital investments. That interdependence matters because China is not just a manufacturing location, but a strategic actor with its own priorities, including domestic industrial advancement and political control. This topic explores how the same environment that enabled unmatched scale also created pressure points, from regulatory scrutiny to expectations of compliance and alignment. The narrative encourages readers to view China not as a neutral backdrop, but as a participant with leverage, capable of shaping outcomes for multinational firms through market access, rules enforcement, and the broader geopolitical context. Thirdly, technology transfer, capability building, and the hidden costs of scaling, a major question raised, is what companies give up when they scale quickly through external partners. The book examines how Apple's manufacturing presence helped elevate the skills and capabilities of suppliers and workers, accelerating process know-how, automation expertise, and quality systems. Even when intellectual property remains protected on paper, operational knowledge often spreads through training, shared tooling practices, engineering collaboration, and the daily problem-solving required to meet aggressive launch schedules. This topic looks at the distinction between proprietary product design and the manufacturing competence needed to produce it, and how the latter can become widely distributed in a concentrated supply network. It also addresses the organizational incentives that push firms toward capability building in their partners, reliability, speed, and cost. The trade-off is that accumulated expertise can support the rise of competitors, strengthen domestic industry, and reduce the original firm's uniqueness over time. Readers are prompted to consider the long horizon of manufacturing decisions, where immediate execution gains can create strategic consequences years later. Fourthly, risk, resilience, and the problem of concentration. The book emphasizes that supply chain concentration is not merely an operational issue, but a board-level strategic risk. When a company relies heavily on one country or a limited set of partners, shocks can cascade: factory disruptions, logistics bottlenecks, regulatory changes, or diplomatic conflict. This topic explores why diversification is difficult even when leaders recognize the risk. Specialized tooling, tightly optimized processes, and the need for coordinated supplier clusters create inertia that is expensive and time-consuming to unwind. It also considers how corporate cultures built around flawless launches can prioritize continuity over transformation, reinforcing dependence. The discussion extends to reputational and compliance risks, including labor concerns and the scrutiny that accompanies operating inside an authoritarian environment. Importantly, resilience is portrayed as more than adding alternative sites. It requires redesigning products for manufacturability across regions, qualifying suppliers, building redundant capacity, and accepting short-term inefficiencies. The book's lens suggests that the true constraint is not awareness, but the difficulty of changing a system that has been optimized for a single dominant pathway. Lastly, what Apple's China story reveals about globalization and corporate power beyond Apple, the book uses the company as a case study in how globalization reshapes corporate power and national power simultaneously. Apple's scale gave it influence over suppliers and standards, yet its dependence also created vulnerabilities that could be exploited through policy or politics. This topic examines the tension between shareholder-driven objectives, such as margin protection and growth, and national-level realities like industrial strategy, security concerns, and public pressure about values. It also highlights how consumer technology, often perceived as weightless digital innovation, is grounded in physical infrastructure and human systems that can be governed, restricted, or redirected. The broader lesson is that multinational success can produce entanglement. A company becomes so embedded in a region's capabilities that it cannot easily exit without self-harm. Readers are invited to rethink simplistic narratives about free markets and frictionless trade, replacing them with a more realistic view of bargaining power, incentives, and constraints. The book ultimately positions supply chains as political artifacts, where operational choices can have implications for democracy, security, and economic sovereignty. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want a clear, high-stakes view of how modern tech is built, including business students, investors, operations leaders, policy-minded professionals, and anyone curious about the real mechanics behind iconic products. It benefits the reader's life by sharpening practical judgment about dependency and leverage. The same choices that create convenience and profit can also create lock-in, ethical exposure, and strategic fragility. McGee's focus on the supply chain as a decisive arena helps readers evaluate companies more realistically, not just by brand or innovation claims, but by production capability, risk management, and geopolitical positioning. Compared with similar business narratives that celebrate product vision alone, this book is worth buying for its grounding in the infrastructure of power, factories, partners, incentives, and state policy. It offers a framework to understand today's headlines about decoupling, tariffs, and reshoring, and to see how corporate strategy and national strategy collide inside a single supply network. If you would like to support Patrick McGee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.